What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Amidst a global media frenzy, Prince William and Kate Middleton welcomed a baby boy into the world Monday in London, England. Hundreds of well-wishers flocked to the hospital, hundreds more to Buckingham Palace, hoping to get a glimpse of the royal family's newest member. The crowd sang happy birthday, dear royal baby, and snapped countless photos of an ornate easel announcing the arrival of the future heir to the British throne. The lead-up to the royal birth generated a carnival of nonstop media coverage for several weeks. Photographers from across the globe braved a record heat wave to camp outside St. Mary's Hospital awaiting news of the royal birth. International TV crews from around the world broadcast frequent frenzied speculations and everything from the baby's gender to how the expectant mother could expedite her labor. Even the venerable BBC strained for ever more ingenious ways to say nothing was happening.
Well, plenty more to come from here, of course. None of it news, because that'll come from Buckingham Palace. But that won't stop us. We'll see you later.
As soon as we do have any announcement, of course, here at the palace, we will be back with you. For now, from the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace, it's back to Simon in Paddington in West London. Simon.
Yeah, do let me know if you hear anything.
Britain's Guardian newspaper ran a list of articles about the royal birth, although it did give readers an option to press a Republican button at the top of its homepage to filter out news about the royal baby. Well, we're joined now via Democracy Now! Video stream by one British journalist who's openly criticized the royal baby hoopla, Laurie Penny. She recently wrote the article in the New Statesman called The Babies We Don't Care About Today. Laurie Penny, welcome to Democracy Now! Who are they? And talk about what we're seeing right now in London.
Firstly, this is actually kind of embarrassing, and I want to apologise on behalf of people in the press who aren't taken in by all this royal baby fiasco, all this hysteria, for the blanket coverage and for the fact that no real news is coming out of Britain right now, or that's what it seems like. The piece I wrote was designed to give some context to the slavish coverage of the royal baby So every day in Britain, thousands of babies are born, a third of whom are born into poverty. So you can estimate that at 700 babies born into poverty right now, on the day that the royal baby was born. And at the moment, the British government is taking measures to make life harder for those children, particularly the children of single parents, particularly the children of teenage single mothers. I find it really, really ironic that in the week that the royal baby has arrived, a great celebration, the same Tory ministers who are celebrating the royal family have taken the choice to impose greater benefit sanctions on teenage single mothers who already live on the breadline, making it much, much harder for those young women to raise their children, making sure they live in poverty, making sure they pay for the transgression of having sex as teenagers and giving birth as teenagers by not being able to eat, by not having safe places to live. And I think that's abhorrent. I don't want to live in a country where that contrast is acceptable. I want to live in a country where all babies matter and where all families matter, not just the royal family.
I wanted to ask you about the royal family and its wealth. Forbes magazine's Rich List, published in 2010, estimated the Windsor's net worth at $535 million. 250 years ago, the Queen's third great-grandfather, George III, gave virtually all royal property to the government in order to get taxpayers to forever pay to maintain them. Laurie Penny.
Well, the financial situation of the royal family is quite interesting. Actually, there's been a lot of discussion over how much we're prepared to spend to maintain the royal family. And I find it interesting that in a nation and in a global economic climate where people are cracking down on people who use state money.
Laurie? It looks like she just froze on that little video stream there that we had, speaking to Laurie Penny, the writer and journalist whose work frequently is in The Guardian and New Inquiry and elsewhere. Her latest piece, The Babies We Don't Care About Today. She's author of the book Penny Red, Notes from the New Age of Dissent. This is Democracy Now!, and that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felt, Saren Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Cassandra Lazare, Messiah Rhodes, Sharina Nadura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grand, Jessica Lee, Christian Goff, and Vesta Godarz, and to our camera crew, John Randolph, Kieran Krug-Meadows, Rakan Penny, and Carlo De Jesus. Go to our website at democracynow.org. You can see the transcripts of every show. You can listen to every show. You can watch it, and you can tweet about it. Go to our Facebook page. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, July 24th. The Kerry Carney Band will be at the VA Medical Center in Northport, 6:30. Alan Stone will be at the Brooklyn Bowl. Pat Wicker will be at Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson. The Precisions will be at Agawam Park, Southampton. The Buddy Merriam Trio will be at the Maribel Tavern at Three Village Inn in Stony Brook. Gordon Lightfoot will be at B.B. King's. Weird Scenes Inside the Gold Mine will be at K.J. Farrell's. County Line will be at the Nutty Irishman in Bayshore. Jeremiah Birnbaum will be at the Living Room, 10 p.m. Blue Devil Big Band will be at BBQ in Patchogue. Johnny and the Triumphs will be at R Bar in Massapequa. Your billboard for Thursday, July 25th. Amber Ferrari will be at Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson. Matt Pond will be at the Brooklyn Bowl. Mary Mary will be at B.B. King's for two shows, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Synchrosanct will be at BBQ. Pandafan, Rebel Fish, Martini Garden, Jaguar Priest will be at 89 North in Patchogue, 8 p.m. Scott Stein will be at Sir Zaman, Manhattan. Dr. K's Motown Review will be at the Smithtown Library Lawn. Him for Her will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport. Sunnyland Jazz Band will be at Bonnie Jean's in Southold. Blue Coop will be at the Stephen Talk House in Amagansett.
Tune in throughout the day, each day, to hear Concert Billboard on the air or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB. It's a service of WUSB Stony Brook.
And it's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this delightful Tuesday afternoon. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Well, you're not going to be here long because we're both going to be heading over to Europe pretty soon as part of the Hacker Camp, the Ulm festivities that take place in the Netherlands. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, it's too late. It's sold out. We warned you. Yes, it's happened. You can't get tickets. You can go over there and you can stand by the gate, but they won't let you in because they're sold out. Yes, campgrounds can sell out. It happens.
Yep.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll be there. And I'm sure we'll be recording some things and reporting from the scene and various things like that. And while we're gone, there are going to be all kinds of interesting programs taking place. For instance, when I took the train to visit you, Kyle, I took it from here to Seattle.
Right.
And I recorded a bunch of audio. And then you showed me around Georgetown. We walked around in the middle of the night. And you were pointing out some very intriguing things in your neck of the woods. And then the 2 weeks after that, we'll be focusing on the monks of Nieuwskeet, our friends up there that raised German shepherds in a monastery.
Yes.
So
I'm interested in the one, the train trip. I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Wonder what you captured on that.
Surprisingly, a lot. Yeah, a lot of things were captured. And just the sense of journeying across the country in a train was something I wanted to preserve and share. So that was definitely cool. So that will be taking our place as far as live radio. Yes, we'll be on recording. It's going to be interesting, though, because I think the last program in that series we're talking about that we're actually about to leave for Europe, and that's what we're talking about tonight because we recorded that outro last night. So it's going to sort of double back on itself, I guess. But in a few weeks, we'll be back live. That's why this week I'd like to take phone calls, more phone calls than usual.
I think people can just accept that as us reiterating our plans and keeping everyone on track with the schedule here.
Yeah.
It's important to be coordinated with your audience.
Time's not that important. It's not a linear type of a thing. We double back and reverse direction and things like that. And it happens. Tonight we're live. Tonight we're here in the studio as a violent thunderstorm threatens us outside, which I really want to see, and I hope it lingers for a little bit longer. But what I'd like to do is ask people if we should go to phones earlier than normal. And you can signal us, by calling right now, 631-632-6901. We will see the phone. We're not going to pick it up. We'll see the phone ringing. And if we see a bunch of people calling, tell us, you know what, it's okay. We should go into delay, and we should devote most of the program to phone calls, because there are people out there actually listening. If we see no phones ringing, then that tells us that we just basically have a little PA system here in the studio, and there's no one else around.
Sort of like a little intercom so that we can talk very quietly and both of us can hear each other. You talk to me and I talk to you.
You and I can have a conversation because, well, we're busy a lot of the times. So we don't get to do that. So now here we are locked in this room. And yes, they do lock us in. We'll be forced to sort of converse with each other.
So the board, all the equipment, the transmitter, the radio station, the stream, everything is just sort of a consequence.
Yeah.
It's just a side effect.
An illusion, if you will.
On our own little intercom here.
It's just in our imagination. Mm-hmm. I see no calls coming in, which could mean one of two things. The transmitter's broken, the stream is broken. Of course, it takes a few more seconds for it to get out to the world, but anybody can call no matter where you are. You don't have to be local. So 631-632-6901, and if we see the phone ring, then we'll start the process of moving into delay and taking phone calls early tonight, because this is the last chance we'll have to take phone calls until we get back, which will be late August. And there's a lot on people's mind, I know, because I hear them talking about it all the time. Everybody's talking about the royal baby. Oh, my God.
It's a boy.
It is a boy. Well, we're taking their word for it. It looked like a boy, but yeah, we saw it being taken out, taken into the car, and driven away.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool that Prince William drove his own car.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was very humanizing, instead of them jumping into some limo or luxury sedan.
It was a pretty luxurious car, and they had about 50 cars behind them guarding them.
Well, yeah, it's a royal motorcade, but he did drive his own car, and he latched his own car seat, which is, that's a big deal.
Can you imagine if he forgot to do that, if he just put the baby in and say, hey, Prince there, you forgot something, you know?
He put the baby on the roof and drove off like a gallon of milk or something. Oh, that's terrible.
See, you can't make jokes like that in England.
No, you can't.
No, you could be beheaded immediately for that kind of a joke.
So. And that's the power of community radio here at WUSB.
That's
Stony Brook.
Right. That's right. A power that no one seems to appreciate because the phones are not ringing at all. They're not.
That's sad.
Yeah. And we're not even asking for money this time. we're just asking people to bring a number. And, wow. Okay, there's one. I see one. One's not enough. I'm not belittling whoever is calling in on that one. They hung up. See, I offended them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No, keep ringing because we don't know if it rings again, if that's you again, or if that's another person. We need to see at least two or three at the same time. That way we know that, okay, thank you. Whoever is calling now, if it's the same person, thank you for calling back. Stay on the line for a few minutes. I know it'll time out soon, too. And if it does that, please call back because, again, we have no way of knowing if you're the same person that calls again.
We want a flurry or a frenzy, if you will.
If one person calls in on top of this guy or woman or whatever, 631-632-6901, then we know we have at least two people out there, and three would be even better, you know. But so far, it's just staying at one. Yeah, you know, this is tiny community radio here. It really is. We're, you know, we don't have listeners in the hundreds of thousands anymore. Oh, there we go. There's three.
Hey, that's good.
All right. Thank you. Four. And we assume it's not some wise guy out there with a multi-line phone doing this. All right. So you can all hang up now. And what we're going to do from this point is just chat a little bit for a couple of minutes, and we're going to go into delay. And you're invited to call us and be on the radio and talk about whatever is on your mind, whether it's the royal baby or do you hear Anthony Weiner is sending text messages again? He's back at it. I just saw this story for the first time a couple of minutes ago. I do not understand why this is even relevant to anything. So what? He sends text messages and flirts with other women and things like that. It's a personal thing with his own family, whatever. Is he a good politician when he's doing his political things? That's the real question. And no one seems to ever be addressing that or anything else.
Yeah. I mean, it does speak. You do want to know that your public figures have some character.
Yeah, but what's to say that sending text messages of a certain type means you have no character? You know, it's
telling about his character, and people often, you know, want to tear apart their politicians, mm-hmm. especially if they have, like...
Well, there's plenty of ways to do that, yeah. You can always...
It's silly. Maybe it's just a publicity stunt, all of it. I mean, it's crazier things have been done to get elected.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I suppose, but that's kind of a weird tactic for him to use, but who knows, maybe.
Any news is good news, right? What is it? How does that go?
We saw him march in the Pride Parade. He behaved himself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
So we'll see. I don't think he's going to win as mayor, though. I think Christine Quinn is probably going to win.
Yeah, she was there, too.
We saw her, too. We saw everybody.
She practically had her own parade.
Yeah, she had a lot of security, let's put it that way. So that, mm-hmm. that tells you right away she's the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
Name for the royal baby? They're taking suggestions, is the latest news.
Yes.
They've come up empty as far as names that they want to... You know, it's an important thing. There's going to be a future king someday. He could have people sent to the tower.
Dylan.
King Dylan. Prince Dylan. Yeah, I like that. That's good. I was thinking Muhammad would be a great name. It's very popular. Can you imagine if they named him Muhammad? What would that do to the royal family? What would that do to England? What would that do to the world? You know?
Yeah.
It's just an idea. Think about it. I'd like to stir up the pot a little bit.
Or Osama.
Osama. That might be a little too much.
Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, if
Assad.
If you even name him something that's never been named before, like Rodney... Then that's going to be controversial enough, you know.
But yeah, that's why I thought Dylan would be good. I mean, I don't think there's been any King Dylans.
I don't think there ever has been. And
I do like James, which is a likely candidate. King James, Prince James.
We saw some kids being interviewed on BBC that were giving their thoughts and theories as to what names should be used, and I think James was one of them, and Henry was another. But the thing is,
or Jerome.
People don't seem to remember this, but Prince Harry is a derivative of Henry. So you know, I don't know if that would be appropriate that close.
Oh, right, right.
But then again, they do name themselves after, like, Henry VIII was... I mean, they go one after the other sometimes. I just think it's time to have a new name, you know? Totally different.
How about Colin?
All right, that's cool. How about Tercel?
Isn't that a grocery store, King Colin?
I think Tercel. Just name after cars, you know?
Pontiac.
Why not? King Pontiac. That has a good ring to it.
Prince Pontiac.
So, okay, but my question to you is this a big waste of time? Why does everybody care so much? Shouldn't we be talking about more important things, et cetera, et cetera? You know, we hear it all the time. People pretending it's not even happening. It's like, I'm not paying any attention to this, but we all know it's happening. We all know it's – everybody in England seems to be fixated on it, seems to be. And it's front page news everywhere, except now this Anthony Weiner story seems to have eclipsed the royal baby. But is it something that – is it important? Is it worth even talking about? You know, is it something we should just dismiss?
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of conflicted because I think it's not worth, like, obsessing over and like a 24-hour news cycle. It's definitely interesting to the public and people that are sort of interested in the monarchy and the royal family and stuff like that. I'm, you know, curious, but and to see the way they do things differently, because this is a new generation of the monarch, you know, the royalty, and they're really a symbolic entity. That's from my American perspective. I'm right. Sure the Brits would say something different, but it's really just a symbolic family. And, they get to dictate, they get to make up the way they are going to raise their son. And Diana, I think that's been talked about, raised her two sons in sort of a different way, did different things, did not keep all of the stodgy traditions mm-hmm. in a myriad of different areas with the way they were brought up, taught them a bit of humility to go and visit people and all that. And that's been thrown about in the news a bit. So I'm really interested in what William and Kate are going to do. They seem like really wholesome kind of parents to some degree, and new, like a newer generation, very hands-on. That's been said a lot too. And I don't know, that really has implications for other types of families. I think a lot of people model themselves after these kind of public figures.
But so. I feel a little sorry for little Dylan, because he's going to have trouble just living a normal life. He won't ever live a normal life. He won't ever be able to strike out on his own and make his own way. He's not going to be able to rent his own apartment or just take a trip on his own or go to his school. Public school or anything like that. There's so much he won't be able to do, and it's a way of really being a prisoner, I think. So I feel kind of sorry for him at this stage. Yeah, he's going to be king someday. He's going to be in the royal family, but that must get kind of old at some point, especially for a kid. You want to break out and do your own thing.
Yeah, but again, I think the family is to kind of create what they want to be in different ways. The ways they know how to sort of break with tradition, break with what has been done in that family. Mm-hmm. They know best, so they'll I think push those things as much as they can. But I don't also don't have like so much hope for it to be that unique.
He throws a tantrum life. And he says he doesn't want to be king. Uh-huh. Well, how's that going to be met? Like, what's going to happen to him? They're not going to say, okay, well, he's just going through a phase or something like that. They're going to indoctrinate him and make sure that he follows all the rules.
Or what if he doesn't want to get married uh-huh. and keep on the family?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If he just decides, well, world population is just getting out of hand, and I think we should stop this whole mess. We're sort of irrelevant and symbolic anyway. I'm going to just coast, and then we'll end it. We'll just wrap this whole royalty thing up, sell off
the
jewels.
It was a good run, you know, but it's time to do something else.
Sell off the jewels, reel in the territories. Uh-huh. Come on, our military is sort of whack anyway. I mean, tiny little island out here. I mean, come on, people.
They're going to send an armada over here just to deal with your comments, so be careful.
UK,
they listen. They
the
listen.
Uck.
They do.
US is us. UK is uck.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
What is an armada?
It's like a fleet of ships, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, our ships are bigger.
Yeah, but... Well, okay. You know, we'll deal with it when it happens. And we're not even going to be here when it happens. We'll probably be over there at some point because, we don't know exactly where we're going. We do know that we're going to be home. We do know that we're going to be in Ireland at some point. Maybe other places around there. So we're looking for suggestions on places we might want to go to, places we might want to visit. We're doing some filming of various things as well, and it's kind of nebulous at this point. It's still sort of forming in our heads what it is we want to do, but you can be a part of that by suggesting various ideas that we might follow up on. I mean, that was when we went to former Yugoslavia, a lot of listeners participated in that and helped us figure out where to go next and made suggestions that were very helpful and turned that into a really interesting voyage. So right now we pretty much have several weeks, so we don't know exactly what direction we're going to head in.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe you say it's not in our heads. It's smacking us in the head. We have all sorts of things we want to, stories and things we want to cover and see and share with everyone, mm-hmm. and really sort of add to the kinds of production we've done with the radio and maybe add some visuals and stuff. So we're really excited, sort of us collaborating and sharing our talents a bit and really trying to tell the stories of some of these trips and have some good adventure to bring back.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a big part of it. But there's all kinds of other things we could go in different directions, and we don't know what directions we want to go in yet.
Sure.
So yeah. It's
we're open to discussion.
There's freedom in that. There's a lot of freedom in that. So we're telling a story. We don't know what the story is yet. We're starting the story.
There may be multiple stories. There's a lot of angles to all of it.
Absolutely. All right. So let's do what we promised. We're going to go into delay, and then we're going to take some phone calls. Hopefully, there will be people on the other end of the phone that will call us, and we'll let them have the reins for a while and dictate where we go conversation wise. And we'll do that right after we hear this.
Don't touch that dial. You're listening to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook.
And here we are. We're back. We're actually speaking 6 or 7 seconds prior to what you're hearing now. It's okay. Confusing. Are you here, Kyle?
E.
Okay, you made it?
Well, I'm here, but I don't know if I want to share what I'm listening to because the headphones are plugged into something that's now on delay.
Right. Okay, well, you can just tell me if everything made it okay so we sound good live, not distorted or anything like that. Will you get too confused monitoring what we say 6 seconds in the future? Yeah, I think because you're not – answer me when you get the question. We'll wait.
There wasn't a question.
Oh, all right, I'll try it again. Do we sound okay over the live airways? That is not distorted. Do I sound?
Oh, yeah, no, we sound great. And I did that for my other ear because I can hear you. But now you're asking it, and I'm probably going to answer after you. I'm going to interrupt you. Oh, I just interrupted you. Okay.
Can you plug them into something else, maybe?
I'm going to just take them off.
Yeah, I think you maybe should do that. But do this. Hold them up to the microphone. This would be kind of cool. Just plug in. Hold up, and let's hear.
They're a bit flaky too.
Okay, well that's to be assumed. Do you hear anything? What? That's your head. Not, I said the microphone. There you go. Do you hear anything? What? That's your head. Not, I said the microphone. Do you hear anything? What? That's your head. Not, I said the microphone. Okay, so obviously that'll get very confusing very quickly. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. We already have people calling in, so let's not let them wait any longer. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, I know.
Our phone number is 631.
We're on super delay, too, apparently.
Yeah, if you turn that down, it won't be quite as confusing.
All right, excellent. I like, first of all, appreciated the headphone and the microphone trick.
Yeah, it was a little bit of fun we decided to have.
It sounded very cool, very Radiolab, you guys.
We try. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling actually from Stony Brook, New York, by way of Brooklyn.
Wait, okay, how is that possible?
I'm sorry, I'm going to admit, I was on the air like 5 hours ago.
Okay, you're a USB person.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, well, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm not ashamed of it. I just didn't want to mess with the phone call experiment. I know you guys wanted, like, you know, actual people. So I don't know if I'm, like, in a weird in-between of, like, an actual person but also a WSB staffer. So do I count as one of the callers?
You know, I think that's up to the listeners to decide if you're one of them or one of us.
I feel like I'm one of you guys. I mean, I'm one of... Well, I'm both. I'm definitely not a media person, you know. I don't think I'm an insider of any sort.
If you sit down behind this microphone, you become a media person.
Well, you do, right? Even if you're free and you're in a tiny hole in the wall versus CNN or something.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. I mean, if we're media people, then I guess we're a positive force because we're not talking about the baby 24/7. Or better yet, here's what I wanted to bring up. And it was very in tune to what you guys were talking about, the baby. You know, the disconnect, I would say, between your mass media and the people. Funny anecdotal evidence. Elliot Spitzer, another disgraced politician of recent times, mm-hmm. is running for New York City comptroller. And the entire establishment, the Democratic establishment, Kristen Gillibrand recently, and Christine Quinn, and among others, are supporting or through, like, vocally and stating their support for Scott Stringer, who is also running for comptroller. They're not supporting Elliot Spitzer. But Elliot Spitzer's numbers are still in the double digits. Lead-wise, he's double-digit numbers ahead of the competition.
Yeah, and he's disgraced because of some liaison he had with various women of the night or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what.
Right, right.
But aren't there better ways to disgrace politicians, like, you know, things that they do, you know, to the job itself?
It doesn't matter if you violate the Constitution or clearly show that, you know, you're more fueled by select interest groups rather than your constituents. That doesn't matter. But these offside, offhand sexual escapades are really get politicians unelected.
I just want to say one thing about Elliot Spitzer. He was disgraced for visiting prostitutes while he was enforcing laws or, like, reining in prostitution rings. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, of course. Listen. I'm not absolving the guy. I'm not saying he's the same by no means. I do want to demonstrate there is, like, going back to the baby, we could be saying everyone's talking about the baby, but is everyone talking about the baby?
We're talking about the
royal baby, or is it simply certain mass media outlets that everyone can see they're talking about the baby, but the next step forward isn't happening? That's for some reason I've been, like, lately watching the news. It really does feel like that they're in another world. And then you look at all the polls,
uh-huh.
record numbers of distrust and just kind of disgust with major media outlets.
Yeah, but nothing ever changes. You know, people have discussed it with Congress and politicians, but they keep reelecting the same people. They keep watching the same TV shows. And, people complain, but where's the change?
I don't, you know, it's, you know, we're talking about voter output. You know, maybe voter turnouts are historically, you know, not because of just general, like, malaise and disinterest, just because of a genuine, you know, what the hell? Why vote? I can't vote. I don't like these people. I don't like any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the choice they keep getting offered year in, year out. So why vote? I'm not going to lie. I voted for myself for president because knowing the electoral system, Obama was going to get it. I didn't want to vote for him. I was very displeased with his first term, but I didn't. Who else was I going to vote for? And of course, I could vote for a third party, but I don't want to sound like, I don't want to sound too cynical, but just the way the thing works out that, I mean, that third-party person would have to penetrate those mass media outlets. So it's a cycle, and I don't know what the starting point is. Do people get influenced by the major media outlets, or are people so disgusted that they try to operate outside of it, but realizing the only way they could enact any sincere change is to operate within it? But the second you go within, you become tainted. How many reporters do we see, let's say they started off as blogs, that were very quote-unquote edgy or, you know, pushing the envelope, and then they got into the big company and that voice was diminished? You see it all the time. You see it on MSNBC is a great example. What's her name? Rachel Maddow was a really good blogger, but now she's just the voice of the establishment as far as I'm concerned.
That's interesting. I never thought of that, but you do have a point. When people get picked up by the mainstream, they become a part of the mainstream, and yeah, they do tone it down.
That's a really good point, and it's like a major attribute of media consolidation in general. And if you believe it matters, you'd recognize that and realize that, like, the really best use of the mainstream media is to turn it on its head.
Yeah,
and get
everyone wants that
with stunts or whatever.
Everyone is looking for that. Like, all of a sudden people are like, how do we replicate the success of this? I'm like, well, that person was honest. Why is Murrow's story, why is the story of Edward Murrow still so resonating after 60 years? I mean, it's because he took a major media outlet and well, did what was supposed to be done with it, but in many ways turned it on its head.
Yeah.
At the same time. And that resonates. And then people wonder, oh, why isn't this happening? But then when it happens, it's such a reaction to it. To me, you know, look at Edward Snowden and compare him to Daniel Ellsberg.
Okay.
You know, one's a hero in the journalism. Like, I was a journalism student while here in Stony Brook. And the story of Daniel Ellsberg is, like, repeated verbatim in any class. It doesn't matter what the class is. They repeat that story in a reverent tone, right? And at the same time, now you look at the Edward Snowden thing and then how that's playing out. And I think, I want to say Salon or Slate or some website, I don't know, posted a great meta-analysis of the Snowden thing and how more people are focusing on the man than the story, than the fact that PRISM exists. And then the best people can do is write these kind of, how do I describe it? Like, they're from on top of their little perch commenting on the news. And these are major news people, like Melissa Harris Perry is another MSNBC. She wrote this op-ed thing on her blog saying, like, oh, everyone's focused on this, on Edward Snowden, and she was lambasting Snowden. And I was like, there you are right there.
Right.
On your little perch, and you're not talking about PRISM, and you're accusing everyone else of not talking about it, but you're not talking about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it becomes about the personality.
What I'm trying to say is, and I lost it a little bit. I'm sorry about that. It's just, it's funny when I feel like we the people know what the right thing to do with this property. We know what to do with it. We know what to do with mass media and journalism. And we know what's effective, even if you look at it through commercial metrics. You want to get the best viewers? Report an honest story. You know, really go after your congressman or the Congress or the president. Justifiably so, but it never happens. It's, I feel like we all look at a problem. We all are acknowledging it, all of us, top to bottom, and we're not even not doing anything. There's just this weird stagnancy of, I don't know. And the baby thing, I feel like, is just one of the many examples of it.
We're on tremendous delay with what's really going on all over the world. And we sometimes hear about current events. And, you know, if it's something that we can't not know about, we hear about it because it's a public thing. But there's a lot going on right now that is not reported, underreported, or avoided because of ownership. And that's exactly what you're saying, like, goes along with consolidation a lot. And it's like, okay, great. There are government contractors. There are military. There's a complex of huge companies that are more or less related to the media. Look at GE. They make bombs and TV shows.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, or did they sell NBC?
Was it Westinghouse that made Agent Orange? Or no, a famous company that made Agent Orange is now making, like, all our medicine, too.
Exactly. And I don't know. I think actually GE or somebody stopped being part of NBC, but whatever. The point is that as much as these journalists would like to do the right thing and feel they have all the tools and all the resources at these very, very large media institutions, it's ultimately management and the sponsors that support those networks or own the network that they ixnay, you know, they say, no, we're going to go a little softer
as a
on
producer,
that.
They all have bosses. I know. Like,
right.
They always said it, like, what is it? Soledad O'Brien actually just went to Al Jazeera, America.
Yeah.
Sure.
Soledad O'Brien.
Amazing.
My friend about it. I'm like, I'm waiting to see, like, what's going to change. Is it, now this is a test. Is it the producers? Is it the journalists that just get tainted after a while? Like, what's going to give right now? Because she's went to Al Jazeera, America, and...
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned you're from the School of Journalism. I heard that the former dean of the School of Journalism is also going to Al Jazeera America.
Yeah. And now that to me, on a very interesting level, not affecting me, but I've been thinking about that a lot because Al Jazeera America has a foothold in the States, but it's hard to access it and it's not advertised.
Well, it doesn't exist yet, does it? It hasn't gone on the air yet, right?
What?
It hasn't gone on the air yet, has it?
It hasn't gone on the air yet. But if it does go on the air, it's probably going to get an extended cable channel. You're looking at a triple-digit channel.
It's replacing current TV, but the interesting thing is that Time Warner in New York, as soon as they heard that Al Jazeera America was going to replace current TV, they canceled current TV because they objected to Al Jazeera being on their network. You know, people have no say in this, and they just simply step up and say, we don't like this particular point of view, so you're not even going to see it.
Oh, they're snide. No, I feel like they're more snide than that. Like, Russia Today is another news outlet, and they have an American division. And I feel like they serve a similar function, and they're available in American markets,
mm-hmm.
but they're hidden. It's a hidden channel. Russia Today America, when I had Time Warner, was on channel 149, let's say,
right.
which, by the way, is a hidden channel, and it's on the extended package. So you have to get pay more money to access that channel.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like they don't even. They're going to give Al Jazeera America a channel, but they're going to hide it, and they're going to make it hard to access and probably make it more costly to access. And then they're going to minimize the advertising of it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the more dirty thing. I don't think there's any outright censorship or stopping of anything. I feel like it's just they hide everything, and they ride that line just enough to say, like, well, look, we do broadcast it.
Yeah.
You can't accuse us of censorship. Well, you guys hide the channel. Oh, well, that's not censoring. We just, you know, and they'll find a reason. They'll say, you know, they'll throw numbers at it, whatever they can to justify them hiding that channel. I feel like that's just the worst thing. They did it with Current TV.
Current
TV was available on major cable outlets, but it was hidden. It was channel 161.
It's about controlling ideas and information. And if you make Al Jazeera, if Time Warner or somebody accepts that, gives them a channel, it gives them credibility. And I think, speaking to something we were kind of edging around earlier, is that like basic or on the circuitously talking about is that what is credible media
right.
is going to change in the future? Because right now, if you're not a part of those establishments or you're community based or you're just a blogger, the credibility is sort of nebulous. People don't really quote trust it as a source. And then, of course, the entrenched or like, existing media establishment sort of is considered traditional and trusted and, you know, all of that. But I think that's going to change as things progress in the future. And, you know, how we define credible media, like these wiki or like crowdsource-based kinds of media. And, you know, I think people checking each other and those kinds of things with the internet and that kind of technology, I think that will be a bit more of what we...
It's changed
trust.
Already. I genuinely feel like... that's why I don't think myself as truly cynical. I mean, say what you will about Occupy Wall Street, for example. If there's one thing it did, it changed... It genuinely, to me, and I feel to a lot of people, really forced all the players in this game to show their cards. Because now you can't avoid the fact that CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, yeah, whatever, they all have their advertised political leanings, but really they're serving a specific function, and that function being maintaining a status quo.
Yes.
And I feel more people know this. So, like, yeah, I feel every day people are going to the internet more and more and more and going to other sources that they deem credible because those sources are posing genuine challenges to said status quo. I feel like The Guardian, for example, the online division of The Guardian, I'm sure if you crunch their numbers, they're experiencing record highs since 2010.
Right.
And the Snowden thing just being one of the many stories. I mean, you know, I feel like in America, at least, that's the interesting thing. The mainstream outlets are doubling down on their methods, but I feel like more people are ignoring it. We saw with the Boston bombings. CNN was a punchline throughout the whole scenario. CNN was a punchline. And everyone, to me, you want to talk about everyone talking about something, everyone was making fun of it.
Yes.
Everyone was making fun of Wolf Blitzer being the silly guy that was saying a bunch of nonsense that may not have been substantiated, and everybody was recognizing it. I feel like it's a minority of people that genuinely take that at face value.
Well,
so, I mean, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, as far away and dim it is.
I have to say, though, that I think the first step, a lot of the work lies with us. The first step is getting this media access available in the first place. So if Al Jazeera is available on some crazy channel number, it's up to us to get that channel number out to people, because now we have the access, we can at least see it. And BBC on channel 104, yeah, they have three-digit numbers, but they're alternative views that the rest of the world can see, and most places in this country can't. So it's that's an important victory to have first, and then, you know, hopefully equal access after that point sometime.
I mean, we'll hope so. Listen, I got to go because it's raining a lot. I know you guys can't hear it, but it's pouring.
I think I'm hearing thunder. Is there a thunderstorm outside?
Yeah, there was some thunder earlier, especially a very nice crack sound about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
If you're into thunder, it was one of those pretty.
I am, and I think I heard it inside the studio. Yeah, and I hope I don't miss the whole storm being in here, but I probably will.
I don't know. From the looks of it, it might go past 7, so.
Okay, that'd be nice.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys so much for the conversation, and keep it up.
All right. Thank you for calling, fellow USB person. And our phone number is 631-632-6901 if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about the royal baby.
No, we're not.
I thought that's what we were talking about. We're not talking about the royal baby?
Not at all.
What else is there to talk about, Kyle?
We're talking about WUSB becoming the institution it always should have been here at Stony Brook, uh-huh, and reinvigorating student participation and integrating with the School of Journalism. We had a representative
from
the School of Journalism.
We saw the School of Journalism last night. We went to the film festival, which by the way, domestic film, whatever was showing that night.
But when we left, we saw this reader board.
Yeah, well, I just want to say a couple more words about the film festival. Just look it up online, and I think it's going to the end of the month. And every night there's two films, and it's really, really cool, a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Afterwards, yeah, we saw this green light, and you wanted to walk towards it.
Yes, I walked towards the green scrolling text, and I realized that was the School of Journalism, and we peeked in the windows, and they have all sorts of nice equipment, and it looks like a fledgling BBC kind of office. And
right here on campus.
I was really wondering how we could interface with them, maybe get some students to participate and do a little on-air, maybe talk
Absolutely.
About news, whatever, but it would be great to see
interest
that here.
Is there. We have some phone calls. Let's take one of them. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello?
Hi, what's on your mind? Turn on your radio, please. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm on the radio. Talk.
Yeah, you're on the radio right now.
On the radio right now.
Yes.
I thought it was very funny about, I don't know if she discussed the world or not, but I thought it was very funny about putting the roof of the car.
About what?
Putting him on the roof, put the baby on the roof of the car.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was very funny.
I hope you realize it was a joke. We weren't advocating that they leave the baby on top of the car.
It was a joke. Yeah, it was very funny. It was very funny. The roof of the car.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Mastic.
Mastic, out there. Are you getting a storm right now?
I'm an MX from Stonebrook.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm regular USB listener.
Oh, awesome. Well, keep listening, please.
You hear me?
Yeah, keep listening. Please keep listening.
I thought Jerome would be another good name. My Tom is a little much, but Jerome would be fine.
Jerome, okay. King Jerome, I can see that.
Yeah.
That would be good.
All right. Those are some good suggestions.
Rodney's another good one.
All right. Listen, thanks for calling, and keep listening.
Yeah, all right, bye.
All right. And that other call went away. Okay, 631-632-6901. We have open lines right now. But Jerome, I think that's a good name.
Yes.
All right. Here's a phone call. Let's take this one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Yes, you just called right now. So where are you calling from?
From Oregon.
From Oregon?
Oregon, yeah.
Out west, that one.
It's Oregon.
Out on the left coast.
Okay, well, now Kyle's already saying that we're pronouncing it wrong.
He says it Oregon. He also says Spokane.
How are you supposed to say Spokane?
Spokane.
Oh, for Spokane. God's sake. It's an E at the end. It's a long A.
Spokane.
We have rules. How do you say your state, sir? Let's settle this.
Oregon.
All right, fine. See? You know what? I'm just not even going to say any more. What's
So you respect our native sovereignty.
Yeah. Cascadia, I know all about that. I do. Kyle told me about that. So what's on your mind tonight?
You've answered my question already, which was, how do we keep our chin up when all this bad news is coming up? And, you got to rock and roll with it, right?
You got to face it down. You got to tell people about it. I mean, we were watching the TV show from HBO called Vice, which goes all around the world, and we were talking about children smokers in Indonesia and how American tobacco companies are basically supporting this and making it happen. And it's the kind of thing that makes you just, want to scream.
Around. It's like you're making extra drag marks.
Right. And we're better off talking about it than just accepting it, even if it does get us angry and frustrated, because that's the only way you're going to wake people up.
I think it's covering the things that you're interested in, the things that you're passionate about, things that you see. We have all these schools and websites and social everything and whatnot. I think using that stuff, with your phones, your cameras, your own, be your own practitioner and do a better job than the mainstream. And by sharing that stuff with your friends and family, things that we wouldn't normally hear about will surface. And that, I think, is a better use of time than being sort of lost in the abyss of, repetition and droning over and over again of things we don't really care about and don't really matter.
Yeah, but are safe, make us feel like we belong to the crowd of people that don't really think very much.
It almost seems like part of the joy suppression system that anyone who wakes up enough to kind of see what's going on is instantly really bummed out about it, and anyone they share it with, they're bummed about it and kind of paralyzed. And I guess the cure is just, you know, to go with your curiosity and enthusiasm and, you know, finding the joys here and there, and, you know, it resonates.
Yeah, be yourself, be different, be individual, and people are hungry for that. They really are. You know, we're told that that kind of thing is doesn't matter, and that we have no power as individuals. We can't change things. No point voting. And a lot of times, we're telling ourselves that. You know, we're sort of spreading that message of ineffectiveness, and it's just not true. Because look at how few people actually do things. Those people have a lot of power because they're the ones out there doing things. And if everybody else followed that lead, they'd have that power too.
And those ideas that are different, and they tend to stick out. Glaringly in comparison. So it's never entirely futile. And if you are getting down about the bad stuff or whatever is being talked about, you're listening to it too much.
Yes.
In my opinion. So having your own diversions and things, or conversations with strangers, people, whatever, your friends, your community, that's the critical stuff. That's important. You know, watching some cycle on TV is terrible. And, you know, it's amazing that how interested people are if you strike up a conversation about something that they perhaps never thought of, never think about. And average normal people actually have this really interesting capacity to understand what you're talking about. Most people get it. You just got to open them up and break it out of that sort of humdrum, normalcy that Alice talk about weather and sports and this and that. No, I mean,
and they don't have to even agree with you. You can have great conversations with people you totally disagree with, and it's amazing what you can. You'll never be you'll be surprised a lot by how much people actually know and what they see and what they're not missing. So I find a lot of inspiration in that.
Well, any combination of people that coming together that haven't come together before. You know, that's a new and unique thing, and it's almost like we're all, you know, cells in the brain of humanity, for good or ill.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Beats the alternative, for sure. Hey, tell us something cool about Oregon. Yeah, I said it right that time.
Oh, Oregon. Well, we've had a couple of makerspaces pop up. I visited with your co-host there when we were up at Hackerbot Labs. I was looking at the makerspace is up there, and now there's one in Eugene Makerspace.
That's awesome.
Brain Silo in Portland. I haven't been there yet, but
I've been there.
Get active again.
Yeah, awesome. That's so cool. So I might not entirely remember you if you did come to HBL.
That's Duncan. You were doing. Oh, okay. This is what the Hackerspace is all about. It's like at one you do yarn, at the other you have water cannons. Awesome.
Wow. I notice you call them makerspaces, not hackerspaces. Is there a difference?
Yeah, it's marketing. You know, like a friend of mine was, a deep researcher in the field of belly dance. Although she would swear up and down it's not belly dance because some con man in the World's Fair came up with that, and it wasn't about the belly, and that was just, you know, that was just ooh-ah celebrityism. And the thing is, you know what? Everyone's calling it belly dance, so that's what you're going to go with, but. Names have power, and if you call it a hackerspace, there's a certain portion of the people that are always going to think that's a problem. But maker is a very positive thing. You know, you know it's wholesome, like Boy Scouts. You know, you're doing there's an art place here in Salem, DIY Studios, and you know they're doing recycled art supplies. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a makerspace. But
that is the best explanation of those semantics I've ever heard. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy into it, but I could see that. I could see the logic. I'm not sure if also Boy Scouts are the ones that you want to parallel, but I see a lot of great things in the name Hacker, and people don't get that right away. They need to be talked to. They need to see the magic of it all, and there's nothing wrong with Maker either. They're both good words, but I just don't want to see one word turned into something that's by default negative.
Well, you know, maybe one needs to be on the doormat and the other one, once you're in and you see it's cool.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, for the last hour, you've been hanging out with hackers and see how they react.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, sir, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time.
Oh, I had to say I didn't know.
Thanks so much for your call and best of luck out there in Oregon.
You lied it.
All right. Take care. That was pretty good. We got some good calls tonight, I think.
Yeah, it was neat. A lot of conversation and different directions. And thanks so much, people, for joining us. We really wanted to chat a bit before we leave you with some shows while we go out and have some adventures.
Yeah, this is it for most of the summer for us. We're going to be out and about doing all kinds of crazy things, reporting back in, and you'll hear some updates on Off the Hook as well. And we'll have some pre-recorded programs in weeks ahead, but we'll be back in late August.
And it's really important for us to hear back. I mean, otherwise, we don't know, how we're doing and stuff like that. So please write to otw@2600.com.
I wish more people wrote emails. I mean, it's not hard to do, even if it's only a few lines. We want to know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. We want to hear what you're doing and feel part of a community here. And I know everyone's communicating through, through SMS and tweets and things like that. But email is so cool. You can still send email and have it read and communicate that way.
Yeah, it's like writing a letter.
Well, let's not scare people. It's not really, it's not that bad.
Unless you never learn and you only know tweeting, but.
Yeah.
What a world. Man, I wonder what the first tweet from this royal baby is going to be.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Does he have a Facebook page yet?
I'm looking to see if he has a name yet. I can't believe they haven't named the kid. I mean, don't you name a kid right away? They didn't know what his sex was, which I think is kind of cool. A lot of people I know, they need to know immediately.
A lot of people want to modify it halfway through and just...
That's what happens. You know, you're not happy with what you got, so you get all dissatisfied and try to modify things. In this case, they didn't know what it was until it was born. It could have been twins, you know? Can you imagine that? Twins? Triplets, even?
That would have been rad.
That would have been something. But no, it wasn't. And they're still working on a name. So I understand that they're open to ideas. And Dylan, I think, is the name that you came up with?
Yeah.
All right.
Dylan, I like Jerome.
How would you spell Dylan?
D-I-L-L-A-N.
A-N? O-N is how most people spell it, but I mean, you could just make a new name.
Dylan.
Dylan. Why not? Yeah.
No, D-I-L-L-Y-N. Dylan.
Wow. Okay. All right.
That's what's up.
So
it's
not even D-Y-L-A-N, so...
Forget it.
All right. Well, okay. I agree. My suggestion of Muhammad really wasn't to be taken seriously. But Dylan I'll sign on to. I think a King Dylan would change the world.
Yes. And hopefully they leave him be.
We'll see about that.
Leave him whole.
All right, again, our email address, otw@2600.com. It's Manuel for Kyle. We're heading out for a few weeks. We'll be back, and we'll be on the air in various forums. And we hope you have a nice summer, too, and keep asking questions and talking and meeting people.
Thanks, everybody. Stay cool.
Yeah, so the royal baby name has just been announced. It is Trayvon. Trayvon is the new royal baby name, so I'm sure we're all interested in how that's all going to play out. And tonight we have Cindy Campbell from the Cinema Arts Center joining us to give away some tickets, and also some tickets to Muscle Shoals at Stony Brook Film Fest.
By myself, I ain't got no friend. Just want to get happy a little while, that's all. Let me fall. Oh, let me fall. Oh. Thank you. on those. You want to let me have a little fun with you all? Oh, let me get right. I'm out here in the early bright. I want to know, can I go and ball the wall? Good to ball the wall. I'm really having nice fun with you all. You see, I don't mind. I'm just here to pass off some time. That's why I want to ball the wall. Yeah, I'm ball the wall. You like to ball the wall? I like to ball the wall. We're all going to ball the wall. Ball of wallet. Ball of wallet.